Welcome to Live the Fuel.
Welcome to Live
Welcome
the Fuel.
To Live the Fuel. Focusing on health, business, and lifestyle. And now your host, Scott Mulvaney.
Hello and happy new year. Welcome, Live the Fuel fans, to another episode co-hosted this time by a scheduling guru. Yes, so I brought on a new co-host for you guys here in 2017, and one of my personal goals is to improve my scheduling functionality. I've been using a couple different apps, and I stumbled across this gentleman who's basically, I'm going to go ahead and call him like a scheduling geek, guru, I don't know what you want to call him, but you guys will get to know him here today. This gentleman has bounced around. He's lived in D.C., he's lived in New York City, and now the cool thing is he lives right here in Allentown, Pennsylvania. So he's left the big city world to come hang with us right here in good old Lehigh Valley, PA. So without further ado, I want to welcome on the founder of Acuity Scheduling, acuityscheduling.com, Gavin Zuklinski. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me on here, Scott. It's good to chat with you.
Yeah, so real quick for the listeners, again, because we're local, we were just chatting before I hit record, and we just had maybe an inch of snowfall last night. So when you wake up in the morning, at least here in Pennsylvania, and Gavin, you can explain your love of it, but what is it like compared to living in New York City and D.C. when you wake up first thing in the morning and it snowed last night?
It's actually beautiful here. So when I woke up, I could look out my back window. We have a little bit of land here, and it's just pristine and white, no footsteps, trees. It just feels so quiet and peaceful here compared to being in Washington, D.C. and New York City, where by the time I wake up and get outside, everything's been shoveled, cars have gone past, and it's just like a black sludge on the side of the road. So it's peaceful here. Now there's just a single track of footprints in my backyard for my dog and a nice little brown spot to follow it, but besides that, it's beautiful here.
Well, the good thing is you know exactly where to go clean up your yard at.
Oh my gosh, I do, but I'm not doing that today. That shit can freeze.
Well, and you literally want to let that shit freeze because you don't want to have to pick it up when it's fresh anyway. So, but again, one of the other cool things is like you literally have a yard to go have to worry about cleaning up stuff.
I know. Oh my gosh. So another great thing about, so yeah, just for everybody listening, I lived in Washington, D.C. for a good 7 years, New York City for 3-4 years, but then moved back to Pennsylvania, which is where I'm originally from, because my wife and I have a baby along the way, so at the end of January, so we wanted to move closer to family. So it's where I'm from originally, but after many years away, it's been a change to try to come back to it. And so like in that time we had gotten a dog who was raised in the city and everything else. So the only time that he really knows going outside is on a leash, walking on pavement and everything. So when we moved to Pennsylvania, it was actually a little bit tough to try to get him to go out in the grass because he hadn't, like, he'd touched grass maybe once or twice before, but whenever he wanted to go to the bathroom, we had to take him outside and he'd go on asphalt. And that was like the only place that he would go because he was used to it. So now, anyway, after a lot of treats, he's back and used to grass, and I don't think that we can ever take him back to the city. He loves running around without a leash on now.
You know, not to distract ourselves from the power of scheduling, we'll get to that eventually. I think it's always awesome to learn more about our co-hosts and, you know, the secret people behind all this cool technology when these companies get started up. But did your dog actually I've seen really cool viral videos where dogs who had been kept captive in like cages or in city mm-hmm. environments and everything, and then they first time they've ever seen grass, it's like they don't know what to do. And then they fast forward the video and all of a sudden the dogs are just spazzing out and they're tossing and turning and flipping and rolling and they absolutely love it. Like, I don't know, did your dog eventually transition like that too? Or,
oh man, so when he first touched it, he was just like bouncy. He just bounced around, I think, just try to get over. He's it's a little French bulldog, so he sits pretty close to the ground, so I think that like the grass was tickling his belly or something. So but then after a while, when he got comfortable with it, he just started racing around in circles. He used to do that in our apartment in New York, which was about 600 square feet. But then once you get to an acre of land and the amount that he can run, oh man, he looked so happy out there.
That sounds about right. And it's again, for our listeners, sorry, guys, we're dog lovers. I mean, I've got my girlfriend and I, we have a English Red Tick Coon Hound, so he's a little bit of a larger dog. What kind of dog do you have?
A French Bulldog.
French Bulldog. So, okay.
It's about like 25 pounds.
So visualizing it, because, again, podcasting is audio, but visualizing this, I'm like, oh, wait a minute. I'm like, it's got to be a lower-lying dog because you said the grass was tickling his belly. So I was like, okay, what has he got? What has he got?
Oh, yeah, that and the grass hadn't been cut in a real long time when we had moved in.
Yeah, I was going to say, did you guys buy when you first moved back? Or
Yeah, we did.
So it's funny, depending on the time of year and depending on the real estate company, I was helping friends look at new houses about a year or so ago, and it cracks me up because not every realtor or homeowner, especially if they've already moved out, cares enough to still keep somebody on contract. So it cracks me up because I'm like, what about curb appeal? Aren't you trying to get maximum dollar for your house? I don't know.
Oh yeah. They did a great job maintaining it, but then as soon as we put in an offer and they accepted it, you could tell that they just stopped lawn service that day, which was already, I think, a couple weeks since the last one in the middle of the summer, too. So by the time we got here, everything had just sprouted up and started overgrowing. It was quick work. No big deal, but yeah, it was an interesting time moving out here at first when the dog came, and especially trying to get used to, like, there's so much we could go on about the transition from city life to country life now, even though this isn't really the country here, but yeah, like, just trying to get used to all the plants around here and watering and getting things like hoses, like all this stuff that you probably have normally. It was a change to try to get.
Well, it's funny because after living out in, again, I grew up out here too, and then I spent a few years in Arizona and Colorado, and I loved it because I didn't own a house. So I was just, I kept things minimal and I didn't want any extra stuff. So when I moved back here, it's still been weird. Like I hate having to get stuff because I don't want anything. I'm still trying to maybe hold on a little bit of that essence of minimalism.
Oh yeah, me too. I hate clutter and everything else. So the good part is we have a large enough house where even though we have so much more, I think we ended up buying more furniture than we actually brought with us moving. But it's all spread throughout the house, so it actually feels good. But I'm the same way. The more things that I have, it's just the more distractions for me. So I like to keep things as simple as possible, preferably without that much clutter or knickknacks around too, just to keep my mind at ease.
Well, it's funny because right before we started this recording, we talked about clutter and why it's so important to stay organized. And this is a great segue into what it is that you – well, I'd love to get into some of the background mm-hmm. here for our audience, but – this is why I love scheduling and I love organizing, because real quick on the minimalism piece, one of the advantages of having maybe a little bit less is that it's so much faster and easier to stay organized and more cleaned up. And as you kind of hinted, just less clutter in general. Mm-hmm. And I was just coaching somebody on a call for one of my clients, one of their employees. We were discussing, they're new, and I was helping with their onboarding training. And we were discussing best practices on how they use their Google Calendar because he works from home today for the company, but there's nothing in his calendar. And I said, you haven't scheduled out your day. Like, for example, like maybe you want to, I'm not saying you have to schedule, hey, I'm going to take my dog into the backyard and frolic in the new snowfall. You don't necessarily have to put that in your calendar. But some people literally do that. I've literally heard people saying, you know what, in order to create balance in their life and help keep that clean, simple, clutter-free lifestyle, they will literally schedule out that time to allow themselves to go walk the dog or go for a jog or whatever. Everybody manages their calendars and their time management differently. And it was just funny because I told Mike, listen, I was like, I know you're new to the company. He's only been there for a month or two, but I was like, your work from home days are even more important as to why you need to schedule it out. He does traveling sales for them. And so his travel days are well scheduled. But I said, your home office days are just as important because you got to kind of plan out and reduce some of that clutter and know what you're going to be doing. And it can change and it can adapt. But if you have nothing there, then it just doesn't look like you have a game plan. I don't know.
Totally. And I think it's really important not just to have some structure to your day. So my whole company, we all work remotely too. So being able for people transitioning from office life to home life where it's a little bit less structured, we find having them have goals, distinct start times and everything really helps. And then also on the other side of it, for people who are using something like Acuity, that is number one, the first step that you have to do to be successful at it is just using your online calendar in a way that you put in everything that you have in there. there. Personally, I'm not that strict with it. I'll put in on my calendar things that involve me meeting with other people, but then I try to keep a lot of time just generally blocked out that I'll have no meetings on to give myself time to think about things, do development, do outreach, and try to come up with some new things. I find if I like strictly block out my times a little too much, it boxes me in and I'm less creative with how I work, but totally. Yeah, totally. I think when it comes to interacting with other people, that has to be on my calendar. Otherwise, I'd forget about it.
Yeah, and that's kind of how I look at it. So it's funny because until I found Acuity, I was telling you I was using like, I don't know, Calendly or whatever I have right now on the website. And I've only been using that for like a month or two. But prior to that, even and now with that app, like I'm learning about you guys because I now have a demo account with you guys, and I'm looking forward to making the transition because I feel like it's just going to take it to the next level because I manage like multiple calendars. So I have like my Live the Fuel, which is built on a Gmail backend, Google World, and I have that calendar. Then I have a very big client. So they're all set up on, they use Gmail for their backend and Google for the backend of their domain. So I have a calendar with that account. So like I feel like, and again, I'll have to figure out how to hack it with Acuity, but obviously, so I will like, for example, this time slot, I want to make sure they don't try and schedule any time today during that time slot. So then I will go into that calendar with that company and lock out that hour just so I have that freedom. And it's like, okay, eventually I got to figure out how to make the calendars talk to each other so I don't have to create that extra step. I don't know. I'm sure there's a way to do that. We don't really need to discuss that today, but like that's at the level that I'm taking things now because I found out about you thanks to Michael O'Neill and the Solopreneur Hour. And he was my first episode back in September, and he was one of the coaches to help me get the podcast off the ground. But he promoted the heck out of you, and now he's made the transition over to Acuity. So we're all kind of jumping on the bandwagon here because you got some fun tech.
I love it.
Well, hey, we got to share the love. I mean, plus I talked to you last week, and I was like, hey, man, you're local now technically, so I got to support the local business even though you're virtual. It's funny because it's like in the online space, it's kind of weird because everybody's like, well, are they really local? And I said, well, hey, he lives here. So I'm sorry. I gotta give him the love. So even though you're virtual and every single one of your employees are virtual.
I know. And our like actual technical address is still out of New York City too. So when people ask where our office is, I'm still saying New York City. Oh my gosh. And you're right too. When it comes to getting organized and things, there's definitely different levels of it. At the very first one, I'm hoping we can definitely get you set up and talk about that later so that you don't have to take care of anything. My real goal for Acuity is so that people like yourself, people whose day-to-day revolves around scheduling appointments, they can just sit back, let Acuity take care of all of the back and forth and that rigmarole that goes in with collecting payments from clients and gathering their information. And when it comes time, you just have appointments that show up at you, perfectly scheduled, not conflicting with anything else. And you can focus on what you're really best at, and your customers can focus on getting the most service out of you. And then when you leave, it can all just start over again so that your worry isn't about when people are going to be booking or what's in your calendar or anything else or when people are going to pay. Your worry should really just be about whatever the core value of your business is, and then Acuity will take care of the rest.
That's how I look at it. I mean, even if we weren't talking about Acuity, it's like the reason why calendars are so important is just it gives you a platform, a system, a tool to just start giving yourself a little bit of structure. But the cool thing is like the level of your design and tech that you guys recently released over your last couple releases, I was going over some of the history was, I was like, man, I mean, and the integration, like I actually, obviously my site is built on WordPress, you integrate. I have friends of mine that use Squarespace, you integrate. I have accounts with PayPal and Stripe, you integrate. I'm a big fan of AWeber because they're a Pennsylvania-based company for my email marketing. I have an account with them. You also integrate with them. you even also integrate with the other, like number two, which is MailChimp, also a great application. So the other cool thing is like you're playing with, in my experience, the right players too. You're making your stuff work. And I think that's another key piece that I think that separates you from a lot of other applications is that are you taking the next steps? Are you finding ways to integrate with other tools that people use to help them succeed? whether they're an online shopping cart or just a basic blog site, I don't know, you know, a coaching company, whatever.
Yeah, and when you're starting out, I totally recommend for people just starting out, make sure that you're using an online calendar just so you can start getting into the habit of it. And getting things digital just makes it easier to share throughout. But the real value really comes when you're starting to integrate with something like Acuity, because now clients can start booking themselves or scheduling themselves. And when we're gathering information from them, we're getting it in a much more structured way too, which enables us to be able to integrate with all of those different platforms, which is really that third level. After you get your schedule down pat, people are booking appointments, now it's time to connect into everything else that you use. And the reason why we integrate with so many of those things too is we look at what our users, our folks are actually using in their business and try to add that into Acuity. That way we're not coming up and forcing you to work how we want to work, or forcing you even with customization to look how we want to look. You can reflect your own brand and you can try to fit it into how you operate your own business. So when it comes down to however you work, Acuity can fit into there and ease some of that workload without forcing you into our own model too. So we integrate with a ton of different things. And one of my favorites too is Zapier, which lets you connect Acuity and build your own sorts of integrations in a less technical way into 500 plus different applications too. So
yeah, still gotta figure those guys out.
Nearly everything. Yeah. Oh yeah, it is definitely the reason why we have integrations of our own is because we can do things a lot easier. But then they add a lot of power to it and flexibility. So it's definitely a trade-off, but it lets you do so much more, like you're saying, because you can start to just take it beyond the calendar and the scheduling and go into marketing and automation and start to set up a loop with people where they schedule appointments and now they get follow-ups, which can be done a bit in Acuity. And then you can also do follow-ups if you're using Infusionsoft or CRM programs elsewhere too, and connect it all together so that in the end, after somebody books an appointment, you get them to come back and back and back and try to refer other customers and have the right information. So it ends up into a more virtuous cycle.
Yeah, I love that fact. I mean, the whole, how'd you say a virtuous cycle there? That's the beauty of this stuff is that, it's going to take some work in the beginning. Obviously, depending on the application, maybe the work with you guys is a little bit smoother and easier than others. I think that's part of the trick to true customer service that a lot of the tech companies are missing is that you got to take it back to the old school sometimes and like really crush it in the customer service piece, because I think that's what builds loyalty. Because it's like, hey man, if somebody helped me do something faster and easier and gave me that extra holding hand along the way, it's going to make me even more loyal to them. Because unlike the competition, like there was no like hand holding with Calendly, for example. It was just like, oh, here you go, here's our demo videos. I don't know. That's why I'm still trying to figure it out. But that creating that sequential freedom in my experience, like I love the fact that I didn't realize that on your website you guys also integrate with like QuickBooks and FreshBooks Cloud Accounting and Xero. And it's kind of funny because I know QuickBooks. FreshBooks is a sponsor of another podcast with the famous Michael McCallowicz. He's the author of the Profit First book, and they have the Profit First podcast. And I know that's one of their – they highly recommend those guys. So that's cool that you're working with them, because that's something that I've considered maybe getting some bookkeeping software to track all my, you know, receipts and stuff like that. So I'm very excited to learn more about that. And then Xero, I just found out about them a few months ago because they were a sponsor here locally at Lehigh University at an entrepreneurial event. A lot of big speakers came in, and I didn't even know about them until I saw their table at the event. So when did you guys hook up with Xero?
Oh, that's interesting. We've been integrating with Xero for probably well over a year now. I think that they're a New Zealand or Australian-based company too, so they have a little bit more market share over there, but they're huge too. Where our office was in New York City, we actually were right next door to one of their New York offices anyway. So, but massive, massive company these days.
So the advantage of, even though you're in the big, big world of New York City, you're using the old school, hey man, we're local, networking, connecting. Is that how you guys got connected up?
No, actually, so again, it was based off of user feedback, and then it just so happened we developed our integration before I even knew any of those folks, and then it was after that I was like, oh hey, when we got our new office, you guys are right here, very cool.
Hi, neighbor.
So definitely user needs before personal ones when it comes to us developing resources, because again, as we were talking about minimalism too, I do that in the company. I think with a company, I try to keep very hard to keep the number of employees low, because as you add more employees, it adds more complexity and communication, overhead with management and legal issues, and all of that just gets more and more complex when you add more employees. And so I think we can mitigate a lot of that by staying very focused on the product, very focused on our customers, and having good training for our customer support too, so people aren't just winging it and they are very, very productive too. So trying to keep that idea of minimalism back into the company as well.
I'm a big fan of lean and mean, man. I mean, you're right. Yeah. Taking on more human overhead, it's a lot of overhead. I mean, there's a lot of extra costs involved. And like, to your point, are you adding an efficient new member to the team, or are you just adding another layer of complexity to the equation? And obviously every company is different, every system is different, so I think it's cool that you're constantly always looking at that, because I think that's a big thing that I learned from, actually back to that Profit First book they talked about, and actually them as well as there's a great book called E-Myth Revisited. I don't know if you ever listened or read that one. Or
no, I'm not familiar with that one.
That's a great book for up-and-coming entrepreneurs, but they basically talk about how it's so important to build systems as you grow a company. Like, obviously, you started this yourself, and then eventually you had to build it to the point where eventually you had to start figuring out how to bring on the right team members at the right time and start scaling it, because you can only wear so many hats, and a company reaches a point where, okay, when is it time to hand off one of those hats to one or multiple people? And part of E-Myth Revisited is they talk about, like, literally, hey, the myth of entrepreneurship is that people think, hey, I'm free and I can do whatever I want. And it's like, well, not really. You're probably going to work a lot harder, especially in the beginning. And it's going to be just you for a while. And then eventually you got to really set yourself up for success by trying to define what is the system that you're building in your business. Like, where is it? How's it going to scale? Where's it going to go to? I mean, to connect it back to Profit First, they talk about from the money standpoint is a lot of companies just focus on growth and they say, oh, I'm bringing them this much revenue and this is how much I bill a year. And it's like, yeah, but what is your profit? Like, if you minus your expenses, like, what is your profit? So a lot of companies, they just focus on, you know, income minus expenses equals your profit. And in that book, they talk about, well, no, you need to start paying yourself an owner salary and your profit percentages first, so you can actually feel like your actual company is succeeding. And then whatever's left, you cover your expenses. So the whole flip on that equation in accounting is they're trying to teach companies and entrepreneurs that it's about learning how to succeed, pay profit, et cetera. And also, are you taking on too many expenses? Or back to that minimalism piece, are you trying to grow too quickly? Or do you think, oh, just because I have this many people and this many expenses, I'm succeeding? Even though once you subtract your income and expenses, it's like, man, you're really not that successful. I don't know. How would you speak to that?
Oh my gosh. It goes to one of my pet peeves in the entrepreneurial world too, is being in, I spent a bit of time working with folks in Silicon Valley, and there's a distinct culture there about trying to build and grow. And you see a lot of them flop just because of focus on vanity metrics, and revenue is definitely a vanity metric. There was a competitor to Handy recently that bombed out just because they grew and they grew and they grew, but they were doing it really unsustainably by launching into new marketplaces, doing incentives to users, but not being able to retain them. So they didn't have that sustainable growth and just completely bombed out because of that. And then the other thing that I find talking with a lot of entrepreneurs too is one of the first questions always is, well, how big's your company? How many employees do you have? Which drives me crazy that it's such a vanity metric, because as you get back to it, it's not whether it's a profitable or what your revenue is or what your retention is or anything else. They're just looking at employees, and we have 15 employees now, but could definitely hire a bunch more. But I don't think that's the right idea. It's not something that's sustainable. You look at folks like Medium, the amazing publishing platform, who just slashed a large number of employees.
I just heard about them. Yeah, I didn't even know about them before. It's funny. I never heard anything about them until the bad press.
That's really funny. I love them. I've been following them since day one too, since it's a beautiful publishing platform and more. But it's really funny to see that they end up taking a sort of a negative cycle where they end up taking funding, and then because they take funding, they need to, prior to being profitable, they need to grow to try to fit that. And sometimes it's the best asset that you have is time. At least for Acuity, when I was growing Acuity, running it part-time, I was able to spend a lot more time researching and listening to our customers. And when you have a smaller number of customers too, listening is a lot harder. You have to take much longer. And because I wasn't pressured by needing to hit certain funding goals or anything else, I was able to listen more to our customers, develop features in a way that would actually work for them instead of trying to guess and throw darts at a board. And because of that too, it kept my time very focused on the product and the things that I would create when I did have free time, since I was working another job full time at the time. So this was really a part time thing from 2007 to 2013. Wow. That time was really, really well spent. And anyway, that's, I feel like that too, is when you're, when you don't have the pressure and you have more time, you can work a lot more efficiently. So you can get a lot more done just by having patience and not trying to grow too quickly.
I think that's a great example right there. The patience and not trying to grow too quickly. Like, you just kind of let out a great, great little secret there. Not really a secret, that's truth, but you, this was a part-time hustle for you. Like, this is a classic example of somebody trying to build something, and hopefully it becomes something big enough that can become its own sustainable business. But for multiple years, this was something you did in your free time, part-time.
Yeah, it was. This was when 2007 I created it originally, and then I was working in Washington, D.C. for the government at the time, and I absolutely loved that job. But I still kept going with Acuity because I'd take things very personally. So when people would ask for things, I would try to build it. And it was a part-time thing, and it was profitable from day one. Also, the price of the plans, $10 per month, is really based, because my hosting at the time was $9 per month.
Nice.
So the first user that we had, it was profitable. And then it just started to grow and grow. And I did love my day job. Little secret, I did try to kill Acuity at one time.
Really?
By taking off public signups so users couldn't sign up, but it didn't really work, just because eventually I would get people who would say, hey, I just referred my friend Jane over to you, but she couldn't sign up, or hey, so-and-so just referred me over, but I don't see how to sign up on there, because we still kept our help section up. And I was like, all right, I guess so. Well, so there was this initial dip from churn and everything else, but then after a couple of months, it was still growing, just because I was saying yes to people, and they were very likely to stick around since they got special treatment
this
too.
This is a great spot. I don't want to lose the flow, but right what you just said there, which was you just kept saying yes to everybody. If we can pause there, because I think that's powerful for the audience, is you got a great lesson here, because most people, I hear two schools of thought. One, successful people say yes and just make it happen. Then there's the other school of thought, which is every time you say yes to something, you say no to something else. So could you help our listeners understand a little bit more behind where I think you're going with this?
Sure, absolutely. So I also say no to a lot of things. I think say no is actually much more powerful, but I think I say yes to things that are probably higher leverage activities, where I do something once, but it makes them happy and a positive image of Acuity in their mind for a long time. And then second, too, is I take things very personally, and I do that consciously, too. That way I never get complacent and never put the blame onto other people. So it is tougher, but by taking things personally, I actually do value them, and I see their like long-term, I don't know, how they feel about Acuity, how they feel about themselves, much more. So by me doing an action that took 5 or 10 minutes to give them the link to sign up and write them back an email, ended up giving them months of productivity and hopefully happiness because of that. And then eventually, because that started taking up more of my time, I turned on signups again because that was something that would take 30 minutes for me to turn on and then hopefully get fewer and fewer people that I had to respond to. And then that's when Acuity started growing again. But when it comes to saying no to things, I do say no to a ton. In particular, feature requests are one that I say no to, just because with them it takes a larger amount of time to do. Often it's not clear how many people it's helping, if it's only helping one person.
Well, you can catalog them, right, and track them and start doing research. It's not like you ignore them.
Yeah, and that's where the time comes in. So we listen, but we have to say no to. Something that I train my support folks to is, even if we are looking at doing a feature or adding something, we 100% say no, and that you should decide on the product based off of what we are now and not what we may or may not be in the future too, just because plans can change over time. And I generally want people to be happy where we are now and not be expecting things in the future. And that way it's more of a, wow, I'm happy with Acuity. I mean, they could have something else. And then if we release that other thing, you go, oh, wow, that's awesome. So even if we are listening and doing things, we'll say no to you too, just that you're not waiting on us and you're not making decisions off of something that might happen just months down the line.
Well, and, for our listeners, I mean, again, guys, okay, this is Acuity. Just go to acuityscheduling.com. Like, if you go to the website and you go to pricing, like, this isn't like a crazy expensive platform. Like, you got a freebie model, it's only $0, and you got the emerging entrepreneur that starts at 10. So, like, literally $10 a month to integrate. Let's say you're using your Gmail calendar back end, and he was just saying, Gavin was just saying how, I say yes to some things, but no to a lot of things. And in the beginning, a lot of features have to be no until you guys can justify the time and development. But again, if they go to acuityscheduling.com and you look at the pricing page, like, dude, there's a lot of check marks. I'll just say there's a lot of features already included. So you guys have already done a lot.
Oh my gosh. You are absolutely right too. And back then too, it was a lot easier to say yes because the things that we should do were very clear. Now we do so much, and it is really, really flexible that generally, if you are wondering about something, if you just email into our support, and our support is awesome, really well-trained people, all around and fantastic and friendly, they'll be able to come up with workarounds and give you ideas and let you know, like, if you're looking for some sort of referral tracking or that type of thing, you can use forms inside of Acuity, or you can check out one of our partners, Referral Candy, and all of this goes together so that sometimes there's things that you think should be a feature inside of Acuity, but it's maybe outside of our core focus, but we integrate with something, or we connect to something, or there's a way to rejigger Acuity itself to try to do what you're looking for.
I think that's one of the smart things right there is that, do you need to recreate the wheel? And so instead, just integrate with something that's already else succeeding. And then the benefit to you there, because I love sales and marketing, is like, okay, well, they're already crushing it. Let's say AWeber and MailChimp. Why would we try and integrate, email marketing or whatever into the calendar system? I'll just go plug into their successful platform, and then they can now promote us because, you know, hey, we've already integrated with you. So AWeber could say, people could say, oh, well, what kind of calendar do you recommend? Well, actually, Acuity integrates with us. Why don't you check them out?
Yeah, and actually, that's a great example too. That's something that we say no to a lot, is when people ask about bulk mailing, just because there's entire giant companies whose sole focus is doing email marketing. They are going to do it way, way better than us when our focus is appointment scheduling. So we try to really focus when it comes to features too. The things that we say yes to are ones that really just fit with our core focus. That way we can make it better for you. And then all those other ones will integrate with something. I think the one little exception too is if there are things that maybe there's other companies that do, like for one of the recent examples is subscriptions. You can sell subscriptions for appointments, but the reason that we put that into Acuity too is a lot of the other things that you could manage subscriptions through are very technical, very difficult to set up. And then also connecting that with Acuity, you get such a huge amount of value by having that tightly integrated with appointments. So that way we can still keep our focus on appointments, but add this new thing for you. And the two of them combined together, appointments plus subscriptions, is way more valuable than either of them added together on their own.
That's one of the biggest things I'm excited about, because I do, and Michael teaches this from Solopreneur Hour and a lot of people. It's like, listen, guys, Facebook can change. the World Wide Web can change, WordPress can change, SEO requirements can change. The one thing that we can control is growing your email list and growing your captive audience. You know, because hey, maybe I don't have a product for sale right now, but eventually in 6 months, maybe I will. Maybe eventually in a year or two, which is on the goal. Like I'm currently starting to write a book. Great, I would love to be able to have an audience to let them know that there's a book available. And if people like me or have worked with me or visit the site or visit the podcast or have had a coaching session with me or whatever, they should probably be on my email list, which is why I'm working with AWeber. But what I'm excited about is like, I don't have any integration today where if people like you, it's like, hey guys, like you guys have all been co-hosts on my show. Well, they should probably be on my email list, but I don't have my calendar. I now have calendar functionality on the website to schedule a podcast session, but none of that is integrated in with my email system.
And people have so many tools these days. And the reason why, I mean, honestly, I would love if we could just have everything instantly all together, but it takes a lot of work to develop something truly great. But because you have so many tools to run your business too, it saves time when all of these things can just talk together and you don't have to manually export and import and all of that. So that's why too, we have so many integrations inside of Acuity. That way you can really use the thing that works best for you, like MailChimp or AWeber, and use Acuity, but not have to worry about those two being totally separate systems that they can talk together.
Yeah, I love that. So not to rewind completely, but I always love getting a little bit of a backstory here. You hinted, obviously, this was a part-time hustle. You got this thing going while you were at a job that you loved in D.C., mm-hmm. Which is funny because like a lot of people don't love government jobs because some people say it's even worse than corporate because it's very tight and very policy and procedure, but some people like structure, so that's cool. But like, why did you originally get this going? Was it your own personal thing? Did you just, were you frustrated with other scheduling systems or lack thereof? Like, I don't know. What happened? What was that trigger point?
Yeah, sure. And also about the government too. I think that I was very lucky with the team that I was on and where I was on in the intelligence community too, where the drive and the mission there are unlike anything else that you'll get outside of there. Where just the reason that you are there is something that really can't be recreated in the corporate world and is really unique to serving the country too. Wow. So that's really why I loved it too. And it was in a place that had some extra flexibility too. So
cool.
I am not keen on all of those policies, but yeah. So while I was doing that too, the government really doesn't pay that well too. So I did web development part-time too, since I am a technical guy by nature. And when I was doing web development, just worked with tons of small businesses. And anyway, my mom, she's a massage therapist. We were in a car ride together, going along Route 80, which is it gets to be a little bit boring after you're driving on there. It's a pretty one to start out with, looking at trees and everything. But after a while, it gets you need to develop some sort of conversation. So anyway, during all of this, she was getting some calls from clients who were just calling about like, oh, sorry, I got to cancel my appointment for Tuesday. Aunt Tilly has her kidney stones again. I got to take her to the doctor. And just hearing all of this stuff going back and forth and people rescheduling and asking what times were available and her trying to flip through an appointment book while in the car too, we got to chatting. I was like, ah, man, I know that there has to be a better way. And that was the kernel of Acuity, where it came from was for her. And she still uses it now. And it has grown from there. But actually the original idea of it and why I built it for people to sign up and not just her was that I was hoping to drum up some business for my web development side, which that did not work at all. But the Acuity product worked great, where people ended up signing up for it and trying to schedule appointments. And because it is an interesting thing too, where it's not just you going back and forth with clients, now they can start to help themselves. And second thing too, is that it's sitting there all day, every day, 24 hours a day. So even when you're on the road, when you're asleep, when you're in with another client, you can still accept appointments and have that booked on your calendar and be generating new business too.
That's what I love about technology. Like there's so many people, and you'll find now that you live back here in Allentown, Lehigh Valley area, it's funny. There's some businesses that are still kind of like, I don't want to say they're stuck in the old school ways. Actually, you know what? No, I'll go ahead and say that. Yes, they are.
They are.
But there's... again, these are just tools. I mean, people cannot always be afraid of technology, because this goes back to, again, one of our domains. Like, we've clearly been talking a lot about business today, but this is also about health and lifestyle too, because your time is something that can never be replaced. And I think we need to take our time in this life and time on a daily basis very, very seriously. So why not find an application, a tool, a system that's going to give you more time back to your day? And I think so many people, and I was guilty of it too, when I first became an independent contractor years ago, my head was so far up my ass, I had no clue how to schedule my time. And when I worked from home, I'm doing air quotes because we're on audio right now, but when I worked from home, I was very ineffective. It took a lot of time to teach myself better time management, because you have so many people think, oh, you're working from home, you don't have as many distractions. I'm like, no, I would try and like say that I'm a multitasker and I'm out on a conference call doing laundry or like cooking breakfast while I'm on a conference call. Like, oh, I'm multitasking. And it's like, now that I've done a lot of self-development and research over the years into improving mentorship and coaching and everything else, it's like, you know what? There's certain tasks that you need to be 110% focused on, and you can't afford distraction. And then when you slam out a really focused 30, 60 minute session or whatever you're doing for your own efficiencies, then balance in some personal time to go and make a nice cup of tea or go outside and take the dog outside. I don't know. It's just, I think this is really, really important, whether it be personal or professional.
Yeah, and you're right too. What we end up finding too is that often, probably in areas like this, people are a little less focused on systems and productivity too, just because it's not as intense competition as there is somewhere like Manhattan, where you have insanely high rents and you really have the demand to drum up a lot of business. So you have to get efficiencies wherever possible. But here too, even if you don't need that and you have a successful business, you can use this to start to save time. Based off of surveys from our customers about how much time they save, generally people using online appointment scheduling get about 2.5 work weeks per year of time saved, just because of the amount of time that you save per appointment, all the little things that you end up doing by reducing no-shows and all that. So I really hope that people are using that as vacation time and not more work time too. But whatever you use for, that's more time, more efficiency, and hopefully a happier life for you too.
I love that. That's a great point, because that's, I think that's what we're all trying to do here, right? We're trying to succeed. There's people like you who started Acuity Scheduling, again, guys, .com, you know, in his free time, and eventually wanted to build it to something more successful. And you didn't know where it was going to go back then, but thanks to you freeing up that time in your life to work on these side projects, you were able to create something that now you've built a lean and mean team, since you don't like to have too many people. You want to be efficient. But as you've grown it, and now you've even made it virtual, so you don't even necessarily need a physical office anymore. Like, it's just cool to hear that story. I love, there's a lot of podcasts out there that talk about the entrepreneurial story, and I think Michael does a great job with his Solo Hour podcast that way. But in this case, I really like to hear more of that lifestyle balance and stuff like that. And I think it's funny how, again, you've lived in some great cities like Washington, D.C. with a government gig, and then New York City. But now, hey, man, you're back in Pennsylvania because you chose that next step in your lifestyle. It's like, hey, I've got a successful company. It's growing. It's virtual. My whole team is virtual. I can live anywhere. And you're going to become a father. So it's like, you know what? Like many people do in this area who are from this area, they they usually move back to get access to the grandparents, which are guaranteed babysitters.
Yeah, you are totally right too. Yeah, and it's a good lifestyle choice. Honestly, I love the idea of remote working because we can get the best people from anywhere and you save that time on commute. Because when I was in Washington, D.C., I would spend a good hour and a half to 2 hours per day, depending on traffic on the beltway. That was just lost time. You know, when you're driving in a car, I was not doing anything. I wasn't happier in my life because of that. And then once you start to look at remote work, if you're a company, definitely go remote work 100%. It's the only way to make it successful. But when you do that, you start to reduce your expenses based off of office. You still get a lot of interpersonal interaction just because there's amazing technical tools these days to help you enable that. But then everybody else saves that time. There's no commuting. There's no like weird workplace interactions. There's no it's less dull too, because people get to do all sorts of different experiences. We just had one employee who started spread out and toured around Europe for a good several months. Last year I did a month in Paris, which was no different. I wasn't like I had to come into an office every day, so I was able to enjoy life a bit more. And the other thing we do too is all of our support folks work 6-hour work days too, just because it can be an emotionally draining job, and that way they can spend more time just regenerating and spending more time away from work, so that when they come here, they come genuinely happy. So they have 6-hour days without any commute. Hopefully that brings a smile to their face, which transfers over to our customers too.
No, I think that's really smart. It's funny because one of my earlier episodes when I launched the show was a guy, actually he's got the same name as me. His name is Chris Mulvaney. And we met at a Olympic lifting competition at the CrossFit gym that I work out at and I coach at here in Bethlehem, CrossFit Adoration. And he turns out, it's funny because I'm a marketing nut and we started talking and he's a marketing nut. And then I find out he has his own marketing company like called CMDS over in New Jersey. And he talked about how his team, now they're not all virtual. They do have a nice office, so there is some overhead and stuff. But he does the same thing you did. They don't do the traditional old school, you know, 40-hour work week or 50-hour. Let's be honest, most salary jobs, it's not 40 hours. They expect you to do 50 to 60. But these modern technologically enhanced companies like yourselves and even his brand, they've realized that there's a certain point of productivity and you reach that point of happy employees. So it's like, how can you help them impact their lifestyle while also impacting the success in your company by not burning your people out? So I think he does the same thing. He's either got like a 5 or 6 hour work day, and you guys are doing the same thing for your support people. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. And you're right too. I mean, if we were to look strictly at metrics, we might see that people would get more emails done and more customers helped on an 8-hour day. But we also look at just happiness and that people actually sound like humans when they're responding and you're not just getting canned responses. And to be able to do that properly, we have to let people clear their minds. So they do 3 hours on, take a good couple hours break in the middle of the day, and then come back for 3 hours too. So that way they hopefully stay a little bit fresher, and you as the customer, you know, you get a real human talking to you too, and not somebody who's just trying to churn out another email so that they can go home after they've already been there for 8 hours or 9 hours or so.
I love that. And plus, again, if you guys end up having somebody who's knocked off due to illness or a family emergency or something like that, again, the power of virtual is that anybody can plug in at any point in time and pick up the slack. And then that person can just say, okay, great, I owe you one. And they can just, it's like, I could just see so much cohesiveness and teamwork coming out of that.
Oh, yeah. And then with time zones, too, we're able to get a large amount of coverage just because I can have somebody who's in Scotland or Greece just working their normal work days. And for us, they're starting at 4 a.m. Eastern time. but you're not asking somebody to go into an office at 4 a.m. either.
Yeah. It's like, hey, I'm available at 9 a.m. your time, but really it's 4 a.m. I don't know. That's crazy. That's cool. So you guys got people obviously outside of the U.S. working for you.
Yeah. So we have three people outside of the U.S. right now, a developer in Greece and then two customer support folks in Scotland.
That's awesome.
Just because the time zone works out so perfectly. They're all native English speakers too, of course. It works out so beautifully to have it where they work normal hours, but they give us extended coverage too. Same with inside of the U.S., having people on the East Coast and Central and Mountain and Pacific time helps us provide a larger amount of coverage where nobody is overextending themselves. So everybody can have a more balanced day by working normal hours and going home and being done by their dinner time too, so that they can spend time with their families and friends and not be asked to work evenings or any of that too.
Yeah, that's phenomenal, man. I love it. Well, and speaking of a balanced day, it's funny because like you and I both technically live maybe, I don't even know, probably only 10, 15 minutes apart, but we both have crazy Fridays here when we're recording this. So I know you've got a goal for our next meeting coming up. So I want to respect your time. So it's funny. Normally, if it's a local person, I try and go like meet up at a Starbucks or whatever. But hey, if your schedules are crazy, we both decided to actually just log in virtually over Skype today. So I'm at my house, you're at your house, and we're just rocking out. So, but anyway, with the show, with our co-hosts, this is your opportunity here at the end of an episode where I love to give you guys the final word for our audience, because even if they logged in late, came back later, played, maybe they don't remember the whole episode, whatever, this is an opportunity for people to remember something about you and what your mission is and what you're trying to do with your company, your life, whatever. So I want to give the final word or final message to you and to help our Live the Fuel audience just have a nice, strong takeaway from you.
Yeah, absolutely. So again, I'm from acuityscheduling.com. That's A-C-U-I-T-Y scheduling.com, where really our focus is to help you offer and manage appointments online so that you can spend more time focusing on what you truly love in life and what you're best at, and leave all the other rigmarole and drudgery of appointments to us. So I hope that whatever time you spend and whatever time you end up saving because of Acuity, you can spend more time enjoying life. But feel free to reach out to me. You can, if you send a note to support@acuity.scheduling.com, that'll make its way over to me if you ask for me. Or follow us, check out our website too. I would love to hear more from anybody who's listening to this as well.
Awesome. And as always, we have killer show notes thanks to Martin Hollins of Eva.fm. So he'll be taking note of all this stuff, the support email link, your website, all your social media links will be in there, LinkedIn, etc. Because that way anybody can just go right back to livethefuel.com and get this stuff if they weren't listening or taking notes here today. So again, guys, that's what it's all about here. This is take your scheduling seriously. Take your calendar seriously. Use it to as a best practice. Whether you're an up-and-coming entrepreneur or you're just somebody trying to live a better, healthy life or improve time management personally or professionally, there's some really cool technology out there, and acuityscheduling.com is showing us how it's done. So again, guys, live a more balanced life. That's what we're here to do, is to help teach you guys how to fuel your health, your business, your lifestyle at a much more amplified and fired up epic level. So again, guys, thanks for listening in. Had a blast. We'll talk to you guys again soon. Keep living the fired up epic life.
Thank you for listening to Live the Fuel. Visit us at livethefuel.com. Stay connected on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and more at Live the Fuel. Live the fired up epic life. #LiveTheFuel.